Take your Bibles, please. Go to Proverbs. The truth that's set forth in God's word is really the foundation of all life. And the more you do exactly what it says, the more blessings and life and fulfillment you have. It's very, very basic. I think that the more we think about it this way, the better off we are. I mean, and I think people, the fundamental things that are in the scriptures, they're not unimportant. They are deliverance. And when Jesus Christ taught the people, he walked around, he talked very simply to them. It wasn't tremendous deep doctrines and so forth. It was very practical, very simple, very beautiful, compassionate, loving, straightforward truth. And the scriptures is filled with it. Now you can have, let's just read. We're going to start here because I guess the title of the teaching is Living Godly. Living, how to live godly. How's that for a simple? In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the first thing that's probably the most necessary thing for an individual. If you don't get this one right, nothing else works. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools, they despise wisdom and instruction. The fear, the reverence of God, of Yahweh, is the beginning of knowledge. It's where everything has to start and go. And otherwise, God considers the people who don't believe that, practice that, fools. Pretty straightforward. Go to verse 29 here. For they that hate knowledge, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. That would be the opposite. The opposite is, if you really reject the scripture, the knowledge of God, you absolutely don't have the fear of the Lord. So it gives you, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of real knowledge. Those who reject it, they don't have it. So it's all wrapped around God and his word. Everything is wrapped around that. What your attitude towards God's word determines everything. And it is really the foundation of it all. Go to chapter 8. I'm going to spend a little bit of time in Proverbs. Lots of time, actually, in Proverbs today. But I want to bring it home here. In verse 13, it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth. Do I hate? So when you're walking in the fear of the Lord, these are your attitudes towards the world and its evil. It hates evil. You know what evil is? Evil is recorded in Scripture. All the sins are recorded in Scripture. All of the things that God detests are recorded in Scripture. It's got nothing to do with what's popular. It's got nothing to do with what people feel about it. You know, if I read the Scripture, believe the Scripture, and that Scripture teaches me any specific truth, you know, like stealing, okay? Thou shalt not steal. Well, then it doesn't matter the circumstance, stealing is wrong. It's evil. Now, if you're really that hungry that you got to steal food, I am convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you ask the Lord, and if you ask anyone around you, they would buy you a sandwich. I've never turned down a beggar from asking me. I've never turned down anybody who said that they were hungry. Now, I didn't hand them the money because I don't do that. I say, you hungry? Come on, let's go. Go to the sandwich shop, get a sandwich. You know, go to Kentucky Fried Chicken, get a buck. The point is, I've never in my whole life, and I knew I was getting scammed at the time. I knew it, but there really is no reason to steal. You know, there's no legitimate real reason to steal. And that's just, I'm going to live the word or I'm not living the word. I mean, it's pretty much straightforward when it comes to this. And people get, really, I think they get tricked. Oh, I'm on the job. They got so many pencils. I can take home a couple. Like it's part of the perks of the job. No, it's just stealing. And if you compromise your integrity a little bit, you've compromised your integrity. And, you know, these are basic fundamental things, but it's the truth. It's the same thing with how hard you work and you're getting paid to work an hour, then you work an hour. Now, for a lot of you online, you've already done working. Some of you are retired. But you still got to teach the truths. You got to teach it to your family. You got to teach it to the young people. But you got to remind yourself. You got to remind yourself of these truths. Go to Proverbs 19. And verse 20. Says, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. When you do the word and you hear the word, it will make you wise. That's knowledge applied. You take the knowledge of God's word, you apply it, and you know what? You'll be really smart towards your end. You know, some of you guys were joking around, I hope, about getting old and falling apart. Well, we do that too. But at least you'll be smart falling apart, you know? Yeah. Go to chapter 10. You know, one of the things that God wants people to do is to work and to work hard. I don't really see, I do. There's one place in the scriptures where there is such a thing as a retirement. Okay. And that was the priests. Those guys, there must have been so many of them that they only started to work later on in life. And then they had to retire at 55, so that somebody else could do the job. You know, it was a short stint of time. God took care of you because you were Levites. You didn't own any land. You didn't have anything else. You belonged to him, and the tithes and the whatever paid for the Levites. But you only served in the capacity of a priest for a really short period of time. Because there were a lot of them. I guess if there weren't so many, then you would serve longer. But there were a lot, and everybody had to get a shot. But look at what it says here about, look at chapter 10, verse 4, it says, he becomes poor that deals with the slack hand. But the hand of the diligent make rich. So it's kind of a guarantee, isn't it? If you're lazy, if you got a slack hand, what do you think of when you think of a slack hand? It's not really busy. You're not really, there's no industriousness to this. Slack hand, you're just not putting your all in it. And if you don't do that, then guess what? You certainly ain't going to be rich. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. And I'm not talking about mega wealth here. I'm talking about being able to take well care of yourself. Good care of yourself. And that takes stewardship, that takes work, that takes, it's not just diligence in doing the job. You know, when I was very young, I got one of my first, not one of the first jobs, but one of the real man jobs that I had in my latter years in high school was working for a couple of Greeks who were putting in garbage compactors into buildings. And what they did was they had to bust out the bricks and the walls in the basement. So you got to pick up the bricks, throw them in the wheelbarrow, throw the wheelbarrow out on the streets in the Bronx, and then shovel the bricks up into the dump truck. This was, labor of work. This was hard, hard work. And I thought to myself, wow, this is why you go to school. So you don't have to shovel bricks into a dump truck. But, I made good money. I made good money at that time for my age. And at the time that I was living, it was well above minimum wage. Otherwise, I would go serve ice cream at the Carvel. But because that was a job I had also. But I made good money. But then you had to steward what you made. The whole point of doing this job was to be able to buy a car. So you had to take care of the salary you got. You had to save what you wanted. You had to put away, because my father wasn't paying the insurance and he certainly wasn't buying the car. So after working a month or two or three, I don't remember exactly how long it took, but the car cost me $150. It's not like the cars today. And it drove for a long time. And the insurance was not that cheap. It was a lot more expensive than the car. But the point is, you work for it, and then you had to steward what you have in order to get what you wanted. That's all a part of this being diligent. It's not just shoveling bricks into a truck, and then I'll be rich. First of all, if you do that long enough, you'll be strong. I don't know how rich you'll be, but it's just me thinking back. Go to chapter 13. Now, are these truths truths? Is this truth truth? And that's what you got to come down to. God lays this out. This is how it works in life. And this is a godly life. Doing it his way. In chapter 13, in verse 4, it says, the soul of the sluggard, I love that word, sluggard in King James, desireth, he desires, and he has nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. There are lots of people who want everything, but they're not willing to do what it takes. Those King James, God calls them sluggards. Just because you want don't mean you're getting. It's what you do. It's how you perform. And if you don't perform, you're not going to do well. Now, that sounds mean, doesn't it? You know, it's like Jesus said to the individuals that had the steward, the things that the Lord left them. Remember that parable? The Lord left, it says the Lord went to a far country and he lent out to his servants. To one he gave a talent, you know, and he says, you know, trade with the same and make more. So of all of the things, now this is the other point, all of these very basic, fundamental, natural order things, you know, like if you don't work, you don't eat, like it says in Thessalonians. These basic everyday truths are also how you will handle your spiritual truths in your life and your spiritual stewardship of your life. Because when Jesus Christ said to those men, he says, and when I return, then you'll give an account. You know, I have abilities. I have from my Lord and Savior, I have abilities. I have been blessed to be able to do what I do. If I choose to be lazy and not do it, then I got to give an account. And I believe it says that we are to lay up treasures in heaven, right? Well, don't tell me that you're going to be really diligent doing the things of God if you can't be diligent taking care of your own life. He that's faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. That is a truth. We can't deceive ourselves. All right? So what is it that God has given you, surrounded you with, blessed you with? And regardless of, now this is, you can do this. There are those of us that, we're not working anymore, a regular job, you know, when we're sort of retired. You still got work to do. You ain't done working. You're just not getting paid for it. You are working. You got to work for the Lord. I believe when one of the manifestations here, it says, go out and think about outreach and move the word. You know, you got all the time in the world now to do the things that God would have you to do. Now, do you still have the mind to work? No, you're not going to get paid for it. You're just rewarded in heaven. You know, and that's what we're supposed to be saving up for up there, right? One thing, if your ethics are right and your integrity is correct in the least of all things, it will be right and correct in the most important of all things. And go to 27, chapter 27. These are things that just can't be broken. 27 and verse 23, it says, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and to look well to thy herds. I'm glad I don't have flocks and herds. I would sneeze all day long. The point here is take care of the things that you own and the things that you are to watch over. Take care of your stuff, your business. Be diligent to look over all the things that you have and have been blessed with. You know, your stewardship of your life physically is also, as I alluded to before, the same way in which you will take care of the stewardship of your personal life and your spiritual life. And let's see, Ecclesiastes. If I can put your, these are the books of wisdom. What the heck is it? Ecclesiastics and chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 18. It says, by much slothfulness, the building decays. And through idleness, the hands, the house, drop it through. You ever see one of those old houses on the side of the road where the roof is sort of like sagging in, caving in? Somebody owns that house. Somebody lived there. Somebody let it go. I don't know the circumstances, but I've seen them in the country. I've seen them in the city. You know, growing up in Queens, you know, the whole roof had caved in. The walls, the walls had fallen down, the bricks had fallen into the street. I mean, somebody didn't take care of, we used to have that a great deal in Brooklyn when I go visit the brownstones. They were all like caved in, burned out, whole neighborhoods. Go to Detroit, the whole city's like that. You know, just one street after the other. I mean, and the reason why was because there was once a thriving industry, cars, and then all the jobs went away. And people have to move to where the work is. So they abandon the homes. They abandon block after block after block. And all you see is they cleared out the streets on a lot of Detroit now. They just bulldozed the whole thing down. And all you see is fire hydrants on just flat land, lots of fire hydrants. But we are, if you don't take care of your stuff, it goes bad. And I don't care what it is. Now, when you talk to young people, having a nice car, it doesn't stay that way unless you take care of it. And you end up paying for more cars than you need to if you don't maintain them. I mean, it's just one thing that makes somebody poor, but it's the same thing in your spiritual life. You know, you got, I want you to think of it, goes both ways. The physical, how you handle your physical life is also how you handle your spiritual life. If you're a minimalist, I'll just take care of the minimal. Then that's what you got spiritually. You know, and if you, so these are, now this is thousands of years ago he's talking about this. And it's the same thing today. It's the same thing today about everything. These are truths, these truths. And when the way I live them is doing the fear of the Lord. This is how, hey, God says, get up and work, be diligent, watch over your stuff, steward what you have, live. There's other places, be generous. And you can't be generous if you ain't got nothing. You can't be giving if you haven't got anything. You certainly can't be a blessing if you aren't blessed. I hear you. Last week, I taught on some of yours. I talk about going from generosity to lack of generosity. And I use the example of Hezekiah the king. There's a man who was walking with God, great king. You know, one of these days I'll get it up online. But he was a great king, did all wonderful, great thing, powerful man of God, powerful. The people followed him. People cared. They heard the word. They were encouraged, and they saw signs, miracles, and wonders because of his leadership. And something changed in the man. And he got sick. And he, God told him, you're going to die, sent Isaiah over, say, hey, you're going to die, set your affairs in order. Which, again, God wants you to do that when you get old too, set your affairs in order. Don't leave messes for somebody else to clean up. But so he turned to the wall, he prayed, and God answered his prayer and healed him. And there was reasons for this. But you know, old Hezekiah, he promised God in his prayer, and the one that's recorded in Isaiah, he promised God that I'm going to praise you all my life. The dead can't praise you. Heal me, I'll praise you. I'm going to teach my children to praise you. And we, me and my kids, we're going to praise you and sing songs unto you all the days of our life. And you know who his kid was, the next kid? Manasseh. Manasseh was like one of the worst guys in the whole book. He didn't, and it says in the scriptures that Hezekiah did not render unto the Lord the service that he had previously. He stopped doing the things of God. And he went from gratitude to ingratitude. I mean, what else do we give God but thanksgiving? Yeah, we had a holiday, Thanksgiving. It's one of my favorite. But the point is, I don't see people with gratitude. I see people being trained not to be, to have any gratitude at all. Everybody's complaining. Everybody's got a thing going. Everybody is. It's amazing, right? I mean, but you sit and carefully listen. How much thanksgiving and gratitude is there? It's nothing's right, nothing's good, everything's bad. I don't got this, I don't got that, I don't have the other thing. Now, you know, I want you to do your own thinking. Children, they're not being taught to have gratitude or thanksgiving. Not at all. So what do they focus on? Everything that they don't have. And I don't have it because, not because I got to work hard for it. I don't have it because you didn't give it to me. We got an entire society that thinks that we should take from the rich and give to the poor. Chapter and verse, please. That's called mob rule stealing. Is it not? Now, it says that the rich should give to the poor, but not be robbed by the poor. Well, let's 100 million of us decide that we're just going to wipe out these rich people, make them, we'll all be the same. And then everybody can be poor eventually because the money runs out. But the point is this scriptural? You know, there's a difference. There's a difference. And most of it is envy. Envy is a really evil way to live. Think about these things. You know, God has blessed me abundantly. I am not, quote, end of quote, wealthy man in the world's eyes. I am a very rich man in all the things that God has provided. I just consider myself a very rich man, and I'm not talking financially. I mean, there's more than one way to look at all of these things. But you got to take care of and steward what you got. Go to the Gospel of John here. And I just want to bring it back to the spiritual side of this again. There is a huge, what you do in one realm, you do in the worldly realm, you do in the spiritual realm. In John chapter 6, in verse 27, it says, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Work for the heavenly. Work for your Father. Do the things that build up treasures in heaven. Do the Word. And it's not just sitting around reading the Bible. It is giving God his place, the fear of the Lord, thankfulness, praise, worship, sharing his word with this generation and the next generation to come, sharing the word with your neighbors. And it's that's when you show praise to God, because you're speaking well of him. It's not just to bring them to church so that you know, there could be another motive there, right? Where you just bring people so, they get to be a part of our group. I want our group to be big. No, I want my Father's, the body of Christ, to be big. I want them to come to know him. Be nice if they came to the house, but if they don't, they don't. I'm still doing the job for him. And do we show up for it? Do you get up and go to work? Do you show up to work? Even though you're retired, many of you, because you're working for him. In 2 Peter, great book. Second Peter chapter 1. And we'll start reading, I guess, here in verse 3. It says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You know, God Almighty has given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That means this life and also this, you know, the physical and the spiritual. The Father has provided for us and will provide. That hath called us, and he's called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your virtue, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, self-control, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, piety. This godliness is, you know, acting in a pious kind of way. Not a piety, I think, is a word that gets abused. But you know, you're walking in a diligently spiritual way. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you are neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it's still the fear of the Lord, right? But he that lacketh these things, he's blind, and he cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he is purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, Brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. You'll never fall. It's the doing of it. See, it says, work heartily as unto the Lord. Guess what? Then you work heartily as unto the Lord. If it says, work to have to give, that's the point, to work to have to give, to do what it says. These virtues, these godly characteristics in a person's life, they are stewarded, they are added to, they are disciplines. That all of a sudden you don't just pray enough, you sit there and you pray enough, and then all of a sudden, I have characteristics. No, you build character by doing the right thing. That's how it's built, by doing it. You go from being unloving to loving. You go from being unthankful to thankful. You choose to be thankful. You choose to be loving. I don't feel like it. So what? It's what God says. Every one of us wakes up in the morning some days and I don't know if I want to do this. I don't want to get out of bed. Well, why do you get out of bed? Well, if you don't, you're going to starve to death. Right? Or become so weak that you can't get out of bed no more. Or you can just say, God bless, he's given me a day. I can rejoice in the Lord. I can be thankful. I got, as someone prayed, I got the air to breathe, eyes to see out of. I got it. And you know what? Even if this is your last day, it says, say it's your last day. You're grievously ill. You're in a great deal of pain. And you're coming to the end of it. You're going to get to see the Lord face to face in a very short period of time. Do you think you could be grateful and thankful for that? I mean, what is it in... Tell me the circumstance that we should never be thankful. Not if you got a godly perspective. You and I are guaranteed eternity. This thing will come to an end. We will come to we'll fall asleep one day. May not be today. So today I can serve the Lord. Today I can praise his holy name. Today I can bless and love my brothers and sisters. I can reach out to someone and tell them about the Lord. I can do. I'm still on the job. You were commissioned. When a military officer gets commissioned, when Mike was done with ROTC and we went down to Hofstra, and that auditorium, and Mary and I stood on the stage with him, and we pinned those bars on him, the second lieutenant bars, and he stood there and raised his hand and took an oath to defend this nation from all enemies. I don't remember the oath, but the point is to defend it from all enemies, domestic and foreign, and to act like an officer. He took an oath to do that. And he was commissioned as an officer. He went from being a college kid to an officer with one oath. And men, as he went through his army training and stuff like that, he was giving orders to other men. Why? Because he was commissioned by the nation to do a job. Jesus Christ has commissioned us in the Great Commissioning to do a job. He has given us power and authority. He's given us the Spirit. He's given us the Word. He has told us, whatever you need, ask in prayer. I'll do it. That's a commissioning. Now, I may not have stood there when I first started to learn the Bible and raised my hand, but you know what? I've come to realize that I have been commissioned. And the more I take it seriously, the more benefit I can be to my Father in heaven. You know what I mean? And that's what I want. I just want to be a benefit to him. Now let's look at another aspects of this thing. You know, other things that people you don't want to be doing. Go to back to Proverbs here. These are very popular things. They don't, well, first I want to cover walking in integrity. Go to Proverbs 11. I believe you all, if you don't know what the word integrity means, or, you know, you should, but if you don't, look it up. I think getting a definition of a word is a real good thing to do. In 11:3 of Proverbs, it says, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them." And there is really the what integrity is, as opposed to what it is not: perverseness. When you walk in integrity, you're living for a higher calling. You're living God's word, and you're doing it, and you're maintaining your character. You're maintaining who and what God's word says you should be. And if you're walking in perverseness, then you're walking selfishly. You're walking in sin. You're walking by, I am Lord of my life. I can do whatever I want. And you would be surprised at how many perverse things you can think of to do. You know, it's kind of that simple. Chapter 20. Proverbs 20. It all starts with the fear of the Lord, though, doesn't it? Because if you don't believe that this book is God's, and you don't believe that the words in it are his, then you won't do it. Then it's just some nice old book with, you know, like the words of Confucius, you know. I read some of his sayings. Not bad. Proverbs 20, verse 7. It says, "The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him." That's a great reason to walk in integrity, is because of the example that you set, you know, the life that you've lived. What do you want people to think about you when you're gone? I mean, what do you want on your headstone? Think about it. Do you want to be remembered because you were the best businessman around? You want to be remembered because you were honest, loving, kind, godly? You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with being a good businessman, but that's not the top of the game for me. Go to Psalm. The seventh Psalm. Psalm 7, verse 8. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity that is in me. And we will all give an account on that. You know, some of the things that God Almighty really dislikes, hates, Proverbs 6. And these are things that people are tempted with each and every day. Proverbs 6:17 said, the proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that sheddeth innocent blood. Verse 16 says, these six things do Yahweh hate, even seven are an abomination unto him. And the one thing that seems to, more and more the days in which I live and the things that I see in our society is lying is just, it's almost a sport. How much can I lie and get away with and deceive people? God hates that. He hates lying. He hates all these things. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that sheddeth innocent blood, a heart that deceiveth wicked imaginations, and feet that are swift to run to mischief. A false witness that speaks lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. These are just, you know, let's talk about each other and sowing discord. I mean, there's great and wonderful truths, things that I haven't spoken about, and I'm going to have to wrap this up. I got a lot more verses, a lot more things to think about. But you know, Jesus Christ said against the devil when he was accused of being, he's got devils. That's how he healed people. He's got devils. And then Jesus spoke a truth to the Pharisees. A house that's divided against itself cannot stand. Right? That's an absolute truth. And he's talking about spiritual things. He's talking about if the devil, his house is divided, he can't stand. No way he's going to win. Well, it's the same thing for our homes, the people in them. A house that's divided, it can't stand. Same thing for our community. Same thing for our church. A house that's divided, it won't stand. If you can't take care of what you got, you know, your own marriage, your own church, your own country, You want to destroy it? Go ahead. Keep thinking about how divide it. Let's divide it up into little chunks. It can't stand. And when the strong man, there's another truth that Jesus brought. He talked about the strong man. When the strong man rules his house, the house is safe. Nobody breaks into the house. If the strong man is bound or weak, then anybody come in, do anything they want. You as an individual Christian, now that's a metaphor, right? That's a truth. A strong nation can't be conquered. A strong family can't be destroyed. A strong husband, all right? A strong, good, righteous husband and wife, they got a great marriage. If you're strong in your faith, you'll never be overthrown. Isn't that what that Second Peter thing was about? Add to this virtue, and to virtue godliness, and to this endurance and patience. And if you do these things, you'll never fall. Think about those truths. If you're strong in the Lord, You're going to do the things of God and you won't fall. But if you're weak in them, if you're lackadaisical, if you're not going to work it and you're not going to maintain it, and the house falls in on itself, that's true also. I don't care what you did 20 years ago. I don't care what you did last week. What are you doing today? I have this moment to live for my Lord and my God. You have this moment. The next one hasn't come yet, but when it comes, you got that one. You don't know nothing about tomorrow. Can't borrow from that one. And the past is already gone. It's spent. It's over. It adds up to nothing. We live one moment, and we live in the presence of our Father right here, right now. One time. I choose who's my Lord in my life. I choose what I got to live and what I got to do. And the Word gives us all the do's and the don'ts. The Word teaches us what is righteousness and life and what is evil. So keep reading it and keep putting it in your soul and in your heart. So that's enough for today. Like I said, I had a lot more, but can't do it all. So I love you all very much. Join me in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love. Thank you, my God, for the word that you've given to us. Sometimes it seems very simple, very plain vanilla, my God, but the truth of the matter is that it is power and that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, my God. It pierces through everything. And this word can't be defeated. It can't fall to the ground, Father. It's going to come to pass. And we pray that you give us the strength, the wisdom to walk in it, to praise you, to love you, to give you all that you have, Father, every day of our life, that no matter how many days we have, how many years we have in front of us, or how many moments we have, Father, that we can spend them praising you and loving you and putting everything out there for you. Because that's why we're called, Father. Thank you for your love and for blessing everyone online, blessing everyone here, Father. Thank you for teaching us. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.